We continue our learning. We are now about Dezora. Perikim and Mishnah Vav. Mishahaya Veso Somuchal Beis Avodazor. You have a Jew whose house is next to, has an adjoining wall with the Beis Avodazor. And the Beis Avodazor we're speaking of is not just a house that may have an idol in it, but it's a shrine itself. The house itself is Avodazor. And the Mishnah says, what should he do? Here he have the Jew, he built this house, and originally he was able to do so, because the Oved Kochavim's house at that time was just a regular house. It was built, let's say, for secular purposes. But now it's used as a shrine. So, Venafal. And now the house falls down. So, if the house is still standing there, well, the Jew doesn't have an issue, because when he built the house, it was the adjoining wall was not Avodah Zarah. But now it is. So for him to rebuild the house, he's rebuilding a house, a fourth wall, of a house that actually was worshipped. So what should he do if the house collapses, this common wall between the Jew's house and the house of the Oved Kochavim? Also, the Jew can't rebuild the wall because he's rebuilding something for Avodah Zarah. And not only that, this would be true even if the house were not worshipped itself, but it was a house of worship in the sense that there was an idol inside, so that would also be also for him to rebuild the wall, because you're not allowed to build a building which even houses an Avodah Zarah, which we'll learn in the next Mishnah. So what should the Jew do now that this fourth wall collapses? He needs to close up his house. Kones besoch shelo arba amos ubone. He should be kones, literally bring in, enter. But the idea is withdrawing the four amos, and some don't have the gerser four amos, some don't have a specific space, but we'll read the gerser four amos. He should bring four amos towards his property, and then he's able to build the fourth wall in that area. So this way, by doing so, he's leaving space from the proximity to the Beis Avodah Zarah, and this way he's able to build a fourth wall, and that fourth wall has nothing to do with the Beis Avodah Zarah, because it's now four amos from that area. What should he do with that open space now? There's an intervening area of four amos. So what should he do? So that also he can't just leave there, because what he's done is then he's basically extended and given more space to the Beis Avodah Zarah. They can make an extension. So that he can't do. So what he's supposed to do, says the Bar Tanura, they know you can't leave it just free, just open. Because by doing so, you're benefiting the Avodah Zarah by extending the gvul, its border. You have to fill up the area with thorns. And you make a bathroom for children, and in that way, it's used it's not going to be used for Avodah Zarah purposes, and that way, that open space is not a problem at all to leave that. So once again, what Kate said, Yaseh, with this fourth wall that collapsed, Kones Besoch Shelo Arba Amos, Ubone, then he's able to build the fourth wall. Then the Mishnah says, Hayashelo Vishel Avodah Zarah. Let's say we're speaking about a case where the Jew and the Oved Kochavim built the wall originally together, Bishutfus, and this was not for any religious purpose, it was not for Avodah Zarah, for secular purposes. So the Jew now owns half the wall, half the thickness of the common wall, and now it would turn into a shrine, and it was worshipped. So what should he do now that if the wall collapses? Nidon Mechzal Mechza, the place where the Oved Kochavim, half of the wall, was standing, so that's not that's not included in his four amos. Remember, we said you have to distance or withdraw four amos. Oh, you can't count half the wall. We're in the first case, able to count the whole space of the wall as part of the dal amos. Here, you can only count the part of the wall that's yours. If the wall, let's say, is two amos thick, only one amma can the Jew use subtract as one of the amos for his four amos, but not the other amma, because that other half of the wall, the other amma thickness of the wall, was for the Oved Kochavim. And that way, nido mechta mechta, it's like you split it in half, says the Bar Tanura, also chelek shel Avodah Zarah eino olo b'knisas arba amos, aval chelko ole, his chelek does count. And he gives the exemption, ovam shtei amos, if the thickness is two amos, mona ama shelo, he counts his own ama, uvikones shalosh amos, b'soch shelo, and then he withdraws three amos into his own area, because he's able to count only half the wall. Then the Mishnah says, Avonov, Eitzav, Va'afaro, Mitamin, Kasheretz. Now, before we explain this section of the Mishnah, it's important to note that the Yerushalmi learns what we had just said, this concept of nidon mechsa al mechsa, we treat the thickness of the wall half and half, understands that that Mishnah is teaching something different. And that is when we were speaking about, oh, when the wall collapses, so what do you use the empty space for? That's one interpretation. But there's another way to understand the Mishnah. Like the Yerushalmi says, we want to speak about what do we do with the materials of the wall itself. The materials of the wall, when wolf now falls down, so you usually, let's say in Bava Basra, the beginning of the Masechta, we learn if a wall falls down, so you have people who have a joint, own a wall, b'shutva. So what do you do with the materials, the stones, the plaster, whatever it is? So you split it. The problem here is that you wouldn't be able to do so because there's no way to determine which part of the wall is Avodah Zara wall, which part was not, when you have all the stones lying on the ground. So what would we do? So the Jew would not be able to use any part of that wall for benefit because of the fact that part half of that wall was an Avodah Zara wall. Yet the Mishnah's Chiddush is Nidon Mechza al Mechza is to say, no, we can view the wall as if it's split in half, which would mean that if the Jew knows which stones happen to be, there's a sign when which stones that fell came from his thickest of the wall, then that would be acceptable. So now we'll understand a little bit more the next line in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah now says that Avonav Eitzav Afaro Metam and Kasheretz. So once we have this idea that we're speaking about the materials of the wall, so the materials of the wall, we say, are not only usur to use, potentially, if they're used for Avodah Zara, but they're metame. The metame, it's a din de rabbanan that Avodah Zara is metame. And the metame, according to this opinion, is kasheretz, like the sheretz. What is shenema? Shaketz tishaketzenu means regarding Avodah Zara, the Torah says we should find it disgusting, it should be abominable for us, but sometimes we interpret the word shaketz as if it's the word sheretz, and we know a sheretz is an avatomer, discussed in Parshas Shmini, that we have eight shrutz and have a high level of tumah, and therefore, although this pasuk doesn't really mean that we treat Avodah Zara like a sheretz, nonetheless, it's an asmachta, it's a din de rabbanon that Avodah Zara is able to be mitame. The Bar Tanura says like this, he says, Shemitami b'maga v'ena mitami b'masa. It's important to understand that a sheret, it's a high level of tumah. It is mitame things, but it's only mitame if you touch it, a dead sheret, and it's not mitame b'masa, not if you carry it. So the fish tumas avodozara midrabon and ikiluba, we have the right to be lenient. V'ena mitame b'kadasha kesheretz el b'kazayis kemesim. It's another point that normally a sheret is mitame even when it's the size of a piece of a dead sheret, even the size of an adasha, even the size of a lentil. So here we're going to, since this whole din is under Rabbanan anyway, you assume that Avodah Zara is only mitame if it's the size of a kezias, like a mace, and not anything smaller, not the size of a lentil, not the size of an adasha, like a sheretz. So this is Tumah de Rabbanan, and he's making this point that Tumah sheretz is only bimaga, only on contact, it only contaminates things that come in contact with the sheretz, and not through masa, not if you carry it, if you don't carry it. But Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kenida. Rabbi Akiva says, we're more strict with Avodah Zara, Shenamar, the pasuk from Yeshayahu Paraglamin, Tizraim Kimo Dava, say Tomar Lo, you shall scatter them at a distance away, as we say about the Nida, Davam is the Nida, where we say to go out, Tomar Lo, that the idea is that this pasuk in Yeshayahu is comparing Avodah Zara to a Nida. So what do we know about a Nida? Says the Mishnah, in the name of Rabbi Akiva, Ma Nida Matama Bavasa, Avodah Zara Matama Bavasa. Just like a Nida is a high level of tumah. It's also an avatumah like a sheretz, but it's mitame b'masa, not only if you, not only by touching, not only on contact, but even carrying. So that would mean if someone would carry a nida, even if not carrying, touching the nida, she's on a chair or something, you're just touching the chair, nonetheless, that person becomes tame. So therefore, Avodah Zara the same. According to this din de rabbanon of Avodah Zara meeting with mitame a person, that according to the Tanakhama, it's only like a sheret, only bimaga, and according to Rabbi Akiva, it is even kenida, even carrying, even bimasa, even if you're not touching it directly. There is some discussion, many Rishonim say, that although we made this point that if you recognize, if there are certain stones that you recognize that are yours, the Jew is able to keep. That may be true, but nonetheless, those stones, although the Jew may be able to own them, they're still metamei l'avodah zarah because they came from a wall where half the wall was worshipped as part of this shrine. So some discussion about that as well. We begin Perek Gimel Mishnah Zayin. Shlosha batim heim. When we speak about houses of avodah zarah, regarding and says the Baal Torah le'inyan bitul avodah zarah, mentioned several times, bitul avodah zarah, the idea is that if you have an idol, so that is subject to bitul, to nullification, as long as it's done by a non-Jew, emri is mevatel, nullifies that, then it becomes a permissible bahana. An idol of a Jew cannot be nullified, nor can a Jew nullify the an idol of a non-Jew. So, and we're going to categorize the houses of avodah zarah into three areas. And number one, shlosha batim heim, number one on this list is bayisha banui mitchila avodah zarah. So here we have a house, first category, speaking about a house that was constructed by an Oved Kochavim for the purposes of worship, not for, let's say, just a house where you're going to go, where it's going to house an idol, but rather it's going, the house itself is going to be worshipped. So then the Mishnah says, hareza asur. So that means that it's going to be usher even before it's worshipped. The fact that it's built for that purpose, and that's because anything that's built for the purposes of avodah zarah, that becomes immediately usher, and that also is subject to bittul. So that means that the non-Jew is able to nullify this, and he does some type of act that shows that this is he doesn't plan on worshiping this anymore. So that is acceptable. To make it mutter. Then the Mishnah says, Siyudo v'kiro la'avodah zarah. Let's say you have a house that he siyudo put plaster on it. Kiro, he decorated it for avodah zarah purpose. V'chidesh, or let's say he renovated the house. No tel masha chidesh, you can remove that which was added. So this is a lesser concern, because this is where the house was not built for the purposes of avodah zarah. This is where the house was built for non-avodah zarah purposes. Then what did he do? He renovated for the purposes, decorated it, plastered it for the purposes of avodah zarah. Some say that the idea was that it wasn't the house that was rendered for worship, that you could worship the house, but there was some object, some idol that was decorated for the purposes. Either way. Here it is once you put the plaster on, decorated for that, for the purpose of avodah zarah, so that it becomes like anything else, and you're not able to get hanah from it. The difference is, in terms of bittul, what do you do now in order to nullify this? So if the Mishnah here says, no tel mashachidesh, what you need to do is, as long as you remove whatever the extra plaster, whatever you decorated, whatever renovation you made, the rest of the building becomes permitted once you review that. As opposed to bittul, let's say, which says could only be done by a non-Jew, to remove whatever was renovated, the extra plaster, that can be even done by a Jew. This is not official bittul. It's just removing those extra parts which were added, which were renovated, which were then used for avodah zarah. You don't need an official bittul. If in fact an official bittul nullification is done and it's done by a non-Jew, then even if you do that on part of the renovation, that is going to be considered acceptable. One other point in terms of that led to the first case is where you built the house mitchil avodah zarah. That's where you built it, where you're going to worship it. We spoke about the shrine in the previous Mishnah. But let's say you built a house that it was constructed just to house an avodah zarah, an idol. Then we treat the house as mishamshe avodah zarah, and it only becomes prohibited if the idol is worshipped. So then the house becomes usher. As opposed to when you build the house where the house is going to be worshipped, that becomes usher bahana right when it's built, even before it's worshipped. But if it's built to house an avodah zarah, so the house only becomes usher when you worship the avodah zarah. So now we have category one, category two. Category two is where you have the renovations. You don't need official bittul, and therefore it can be done by a Jew. Just get rid of the renovations, and then you can use the house bahana. Hichnis l'socho avodah zarah. So let's say the following. He brought, the non-Jew brought an idol into it. Vehotzion, took it out. then Hareis then Mutter. So this is talking about a building not built for Avodah Zarah. It wasn't intended to worship at all. What was it? It was there built to house an idol. So what do we do? Well, we take out the idol, so then it's okay. Bartanu says, Visha, Hichnis the Soch Avodah Zarah Lefisha, just temporarily you brought an idol in there. Was not designated for Avodah Zarah purposes, so we take out the idol, so then we're okay, you can get Hanah. So that's one explanation. Since it wasn't built and the idol wasn't put in permanently, so then we don't have a problem. And others claim that the Mishnah could be understood even if you have a building that was designated to be the permanent place of the of that idol, and therefore became usur when the idol became was placed in there. It became Tashmish Avodah Zarah, that building. But that's okay. When you remove the idol, that's considered a bittul, and therefore that is acceptable to get hanah from the house once from that from the building, once the idol is removed. So we had three categories of houses for Avodah Zarah. Now we have three categories of stones. Shalosh Avanim Heim. Three stones. We talk about idolatrous stones. We divide them into three categories as well, regarding what level of prohibition they are. Number one is Even Shechatzava Mitzchila Labimus, Harezo Asura. So, of course, the most severe is first. Here you have a stone that was hewed out for, quarried for, as a bimus, as a base to serve as the pedestal for the idol. So that's the case. It's obviously there for the purposes of worship, and therefore the stone becomes prohibited for Hana immediately, even before you put the idol on that Evan, on that base. Harezu Asura. Siyida v'kiyira l'shem Avodah Zarah v'chideh, so similar to the house. Here you put plaster or kiyira decorated for Avodah Zarah. Some have the word chideh, you renovate, some do not. So this second category, this was hewn non for out of the quarried out for a secular purpose, not for Avodah Zarah, but then was decorated, renovated for Avodah Zarah purposes as we had. So note, what do you do here? Same thing that we learned before. Note tel masha chideh. And even a Jew can do this. This is not official bittul. Just take off the renovation, the extra, the plaster, so then it's going to then it's going to be permitted. Hamid aleh Avodah Zarah. So now you have a case where third category, where the stone was quarried out for Avodah Zarah purposes, and it wasn't designated as permanently to be pedestal for the idol, but temporarily so. So you put a hamid on that, but they put an idol on it, visoka, and then you removed it. Harezo, muteris, this is going to be mutter once the idol is removed. Then shalosh asherosein, the asherah tree, the Avodah Zarah tree. Also three categories. A tree that's worshipped, we call it asherah, as we mentioned already, psukim in devarim perek tez zayin. So number one, the most severe is Ilan Shten Nita'o Mitzchilo Shem Avodah Zarah Harezos. First category, it was planted by a non-Jew for an Obay Avon Kochavim, and that's going to be an object of worship, and that becomes Asa Bahana immediately. And of course, it is subject to bittul, as the other cases. And if he's able, if he's mevatel it, he can. I would mention it. They also mention you can mevatel the house and mevatel the stone. That first category, and can mevatel the ilan, the asherah as well. Gidao upislo l'shem Avodah Zarah. If this is category two, if you cut it, trimmed it for Avodah Zarah purposes, vehechlif, switched it, vehechlif means you switched it out, removed it, whatever. We're talking about a tree, so this is not exactly going to work the same as a house, the same in terms of renovations or decorations that we have when it comes to a stone or a house. But here you have a person where the person cut the branches. He cut the branches so that it would grow better. It would stimulate the growth. So, and what is he going to do? He's not going to worship the current tree. Whatever grows new, the new branches, he is going to worship that. So the only thing that becomes asabana is what grows afterwards. Some say no, that maybe it means you're stimulating the growth, but after it goes, you're going to worship the entire tree. Either way, says the Mishnah, no tamasha hechlif. You have to remove whatever hechlif, whatever sprouted, the new branch that you're supposed to cut off. You're not permitted to get hanah from them, but the rest of the tree is going to be permitted. This is category two, classic, something that can be done as well by a Jew, because this doesn't need official bittul, because the tree itself did not start out as a dessert, was not planted for that purpose. Hemitach tov Avodah Zarah. ubitla harei ze mutter. But if you placed underneath it avodah zarah, so here, like this is like the third category, not built, not planted for avodah zarah at all. Here is a regular tree, and what you do, you put an idol underneath it. So here, now the word bitla is some have the word in talah, because the word bitla, you don't really need official bitl here, but the idea is you don't really need nullification as the third category. So what does it mean? Unatala, you removed it. It means the Nandru took the idol from out the tree or from under the tree, and it was not there. Was it placed there permanently? Some say it was only placed there temporarily, and therefore it's certainly not upon once it's removed. And some say no, it was placed there permanently. Even so, taking it out, that's considered its bitl. Now, those who have the language of ubitla will explain we're talking about a case where the Nandru put the idol there under the tree, and it's going to be there permanently. So the tree becomes tashmishe avodah zarah, an accessory to avodah zarah, and therefore that becomes asur, and then in fact maybe you do need bitul, and that has to be done by the Oved Avodah Zarah himself. So once again, ha'hem in tacht of Avodah Zarah ubitla, and he nullifies it, maybe it means unatala. See how just change the base in the nun, harezim mutter. Ezu hi asherah, says the Mishnah, what's an asherah? Meaning we talk about three categories of asheros. So this is not speaking about, when asking about all three, speaking about the third category. What we're saying is, this third category is that we spoke about, if you put the avodah zarah underneath it, and you mevatel it or tala, harezim mutter, that's what the Mishnah is asking. Kol sheyesh tachtei avodah zarah, that's subject to a machlokes tanaim. This third category, according to Tanakama, is where there is an avodah zarah underneath it. Opinion of the Tanakama of the Chachamim is any tree that has an idol underneath it becomes usur, even if the tree is not worshipped. Why? Because the tree is maybe not the avodah zarah itself, but it becomes tashmishi avodah zarah, an accessory to avodah zarah. Since you're worshiping the avodah zarah, that's what we're speaking about. That's the asherah of the third category, which, if you remove the idol, is going to be mutter. Rabbi Shimon Omer kol she'ovdin osa. Rabbi Shimon says, no, a tree is only an asherah of that third category if it itself is going to be worshipped, not just the fact that there's an idol underneath. So Rabbi Shimon is leaned. What does it mean, kol she'ovdin osa? If you don't worship the tree, you just put an idol underneath the tree does not become asur bana. Why is that? Because the tree can't become tashmishi avodah zarah, since as it grows, as it takes root, continues to take root, that basically nullifies the fact that it is for avodah zarah purposes. If you have stones, let's say detached from the ground, you put them attached to the ground, so those can become tashmishi avodah zarah if you put an idol next to them or underneath them, whatever it may be, or on top of them. But here, when it comes to a tree, because of the fact that the tree continues to grow, so the tree therefore will not become tashmish avodah zarah. And therefore, the only way for it to be avodah zarah is she'ovdin osa, you actually have to worship it. Then the Mishnah says, "Umaisa b'tzidon." There was a case in the city of Tzidon where Rabbi Shimon will see. He followed his opinion. Be'ilan she'ovdin osa, you had a tree that they worshipped in. Now the Gemara says it wasn't clear that it was really worshipped. Just means that it seemed that people were worshipping it. But the point is that there was no avodah zarah underneath it, so it looked like they were worshipping it as an asherah. Umatsu tachtav gal. Then they found underneath the tree there was a gal, a mound under the tree, which now they realize, oh, maybe there was an idol there, and there was an idol there all the time. Amen Rabbi Shimon, bitku es hagal hazeh. Check the mound, see if you find an idol, an image or something. Ubadku, and they found, they checked it, they inspected it. Umatsu botsu, and they found an image. Why do you want them to check the mound? Because if you're telling me there was an idol underneath there, so that would show that they were worshiping the idol and not worshiping the tree. So Amar Lahen, Hoil Vlatsura Hain Ovdin, they looked there and they found a tsura there. Aha! That shows that in fact they were worshiping the idol the whole time, which was in the mound, and not the tree. And therefore he says, Natir Amar Lahen, Hoil Vlatsura Hain Ovdin, since they're worshiping the tree and not the tree, Natilan Asar Ilan will permit the Ilan, because this is Rabbi Shimon Lishitas. So according to his opinion, it's consistent that unless you're worshiping the Asherah tree itself, it's not a problem. If you're worshiping the avodah zarah beneath it, the tree, by virtue of being a tree that it continues to grow, that is not considered, even if you planted it, you took it out of the ground and put it back in the ground, the fact that it continues to grow, and it's nourished from the ground, that itself does not make it tashmish avodah zarah, and therefore the tree is permitted, not your lahan eso ilan.